Esrei, we call it Tefillah Balachash, the silent Shmona Esrei. However, when it comes to Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're told by the Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Mishnah Berurah, that we can daven out loud in order to increase our Kavana. Lest we be concerned about confusing other people, the Mishnah Berurah notes, Machzorim are available for everybody on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so no one is going to be distracted. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omrim Sheber Rosh Hashanah B'Yom HaKippur Mutar LaHashmiya Kolim B'Tfilah, source Aleph. Some say that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one may daven aloud, afilu b'tzibur, even if others are around. And the Rama writes, v'chei noagin, that's our practice. U'mikomakom yizaru shelo lagbia kolom yorsim yidai. However, people should be careful not to raise their voices too much. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in source base, afilu b'tzibur la'or ha'kavana. You do it in order to increase your kavana. U'lumitra tzibur lo chayshinam. We're not concerned about distracting people. Kevin shesidurim u'mahzarim b'yadam. Since everyone is holding a siddur, everyone's holding a mahzar. So, I have a basic question. We have siddurim all the time. And here you're telling me that loud davening increases kavana. So why not do it all the time? Why shouldn't we daven out loud for Shmona Esrei all the time, have great kavana, and not distract anybody, because everyone nowadays has siddurim? So we know about Chana, that we try to imitate Chana's tefillah and Chana daven, we're told, silently, and we'll come back to that. But there's actually much more involved in this issue of the silent Shmona Esrei. And the lessons of the silent Shmona Esrei may yet inform the way we daven over Yom Tov, whether silently or out loud. Chana's decision is mentioned here in Source Gimel. It's a Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Amar of Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, Kama Hilchasa Gavar... Garbarvasa, Iko Lemishma Mehani Kroi. How many great halachos we can learn from this, from these psukim? Which psukim? Hani Kroi Techana, the psukim of Chana. Vachana Himedaberes al Liba. Chana was speaking upon her heart. Mikal Nemispal al Tashi Chavin Libo. That teaches us that one who is davening must focus his heart. Raks Vasehana Os. Only her lips moved. That teaches you that when you daven, you do have to form the words with your lips. The kolola yishama, but her voice was not audible. That teaches that you're not allowed to raise your voice when you daven. Okay, so that's Chana's decision, that she's going to daven silently. There are many solid reasons to daven out loud. We already mentioned kavana from the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan notes an additional factor. It's source Dalet. Masha olam orim slichos upiutim b'kol rom in kepeda. He says people say slichos out loud, people say piutim out loud. No problem with doing that. Davka b'tfilah Shmona Esrei yesh kepeda k'shu omid lefnei ha'melech. It's specifically for Shmona Esrei that we daven quietly. You're standing before Hashem. You have to stand in an appropriate decorous manner. We'll come back to that. But for other davening, it's not an issue. The other rabbi, just the opposite. It's better to daven aloud in order to raise your kavana. And he quotes the Ramban. And certainly, when you sing praises of Hashem aloud, think Hallel. Because of your simcha, that's a good thing. Utehilim yeshlamer gamkein bekol, and tehilim should also be out loud. Kamosh b'shulim megillah, like the Gemara says at the end of Megillah, kalakari baloni ima b'shona b'lo zimra, olav akasiv omer, etc. The Gemara criticizes people who recite psukim or learn without singing it. They sing it despite the classic line, Gemara Gemira is more than the hey. Singing it is considered to be a display of joy, and a display that you enjoy it. So from this Aruch HaShulchan, we may draw an additional reason for davening aloud, aside from Kavana. It demonstrates a joy. It demonstrates that one is happy, and maybe I should do that for Shmona Esrei. Granted, the other side, which he mentioned, we'll come back to that. Further, if you take a look in the Zohar, you find an additional element in Source Hay. Shema tfilasi Hashem, pasuk in Tehillim, hear my tfilah Hashem, dot zelosa di belachash. That refers to silent davening. Vishavasi ha'azina, and hear my cries, dot zelosa da'arim barnash kali ba'akse. That is the sound of a person's davening when he raises his voice in pain. There is an element of raising one's voice to express pain. There's a degree of catharsis involved in doing so. So there are many reasons to daven out loud. There's the kavana factor, which the Mishnah Berurah notes. There's the idea of doing it pleasantly, and that shows joy in one's davening, as noted in the Aruch HaShulchan. Granted, he was not describing Shmona Esrei, right? And there's the element that's implicit in the Zohar, that there's catharsis in davening out loud. And it's a real substantive way to daven. The Zohar actually identified it with a pasuk. And yet, again, Chana chooses not to daven out loud. As a matter of fact, another passage in the Zohar says Hashem doesn't listen to loud davening. Source Vav. V'okimno, we've learned, man ditzali tzlose kame mare, a person who davens in front of his master, itzrichle t'volimishma kale v'tzlose, should not make his voice audible in his davening. Uman da'ashma kale v'tzlose tzlose loishtama, and if you make your voice loud in your davening will not be heard. And he goes into a distinction between davening with a kol kuf vav lamed and davening with a kol kuf lamed. But he says Hashem doesn't listen when you daven out loud. That's a remarkable statement. To begin kach, he continues, therefore, lo itzrich le barnash, lemesh makale b'tzlose, one should not daven out loud. The elu tzala b'lachash, bo kal delay shema, he should daven silently, with a voice that is not audible, v'do itzlose, this kabelis tadir, and that is the davening that will be accepted. So that's a very, very strong statement, that you should daven silently. So much so that the Magen Avraham, based on this, says that even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur you should daven silently. So now I'm confused. I have three reasons to daven aloud: raising kavana, pleasant voice, and catharsis. And then on the other hand, I have the Zohar telling me that you have to daven quietly or Hashem won't accept your tefillah. I have Chana making this decision, and we imitate Chana's decision by davening silently as well. So what exactly is the basis for our preference for silent Shmona Esrei? So on one level, it's technical. We already hinted, and you see it in Sur Zion, that the concern that you might distract other people. Nasi Lemitra Tzibura, you're going to distract people. Granted that the Machzor obviates that concern, nonetheless, that's one element. A second element emerges from a Gemara in Sota, and that's Source Ches. Rabbi Yochanan says, citing Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, if they might take no tefillah b'lachash, why did Chazal say you should daven quietly? Shalola vayesh es ovrei avera, so as not to embarrass people who have sinned, right? They're davening to Hashem, that they do a vidui, they admit what they've done wrong. You don't want everybody listening in. Granted that there's a great discussion about whether one should admit his averos out loud or not, this Gemara seems to take the side that you do not recite your averos out loud, and you don't want people hearing it. People, you'll get embarrassed. He says, after all, if you look in the Beis HaMikdash, when a person brought a chatas, an offering to atone for sin, he brought it in the same place that a person brought his ola, which was a voluntary offering one would bring as a contribution. And the Gemara goes on further to talk about potential differences in the way they're conducted in the Beis HaMikdash, and who might notice and who won't notice, and the possibility that someone who has committed avodah zarah, idolatry, he specifically stands out and is meant to be noticed. He should be embarrassed for what he's done, and that will help atone. But in general, there's an issue of davening silently in order to avoid embarrassment. Now, that applies to a unique kind of davening. That's davening with a vidui in particular. Nonetheless, we have two technical reasons to daven silently. But are those really the reason why the Zohar says only silent davening is accepted? Is that really what's behind Chana? She's not doing vidui, and she's not distracting anybody. All indications are there was no one else present besides her. It was her and Eli. So a second type of answer is that we daven silently because it's a function of our relationship with Hashem. Specifically, we demonstrate trust that Hashem actually hears our davening. The Gemara says, it's in Source Zion, Hamashmir Kolo Betfiloso, Harezim Mikitane Amona, a person who makes his voice audible when he davens demonstrates that he doesn't really trust. He demonstrates he doesn't really have emuna. So maybe we daven silently to show that we trust Hashem. The Aruch HaShulchan that we saw earlier gave another reason tied into the relationship with Hashem, that is to show respect. You're standing in front of the Melech, so therefore you daven silently. So maybe these are a little bit stronger. Maybe this is what's behind Chana's actions. Maybe this is also what's behind the ruling of the Zohar, and therefore the Magen Avraham. possible. I would like to offer also, though, an additional possibility. In addition to the technical reasons to daven quietly, and in addition to the reasons that are a function of our relationship with Hashem, perhaps davening quietly is also a statement about the limits of verbal tefillah. And I refer you back to the classic story of Eliyahu and the moment where Hashem is revealed to Eliyahu. Remember that Eliyahu has run away, he's being pursued, Jezebel wants to have him killed. And Eliyahu runs away to the Midbar, and he complains to Hashem about the Jewish people and about what's happening, and the Nevi'im are being pursued. And Hashem says the following to him. It's in source text. Vayomer Hashem said, Tzevi amadata bahar lefnei Hashem. Go out and stand on the mountain before God. Vine Hashem over. And Hashem is passing by. Baruch yidola v'chazak mefarek harim v'shaber slaim lefnei Hashem. And a great wind, mighty wind, shattering mountains, shattering boulders, passes before Hashem, and lo baruch Hashem, Hashem is not in the wind. V'achar ruach rash, and after the wind, rash, a great noise, perhaps a quake. Lo barash Hashem, and Hashem is not in that either. V'achar rash eish, and after the great noise comes a fire. Lo ba'esh Hashem, Hashem is not in the fire either. V'achar ha'esh, called the mamadaka, and after the fire, a small voice, right? Usually translated a still, silent voice, a thin voice. Whose voice is that? What exactly is this voice? What is the message? Saradak says the call to Mamadaka is Hashem's true nature. Hashem is rewarding Eliyahu for the great Kiddush Hashem he created on Har HaKarmel when he brought the Korban to Hashem, and the priests of the Baal were shown to be ineffective. So Hashem is showing him this is your reward. Ralbag says no. Rabbah says this is actually Musar. This is rebuke. Hashem is telling Eliyahu that when I give Musar, it doesn't come as it did for the Jews in the desert as something obvious. It's through the silent voice. So would you quit yelling? That's Hashem's message to Eliyahu. Mitzudas David offers a third explanation, also along the lines of Ralbag, that the call to Mamadaka hints at being gentle. But he's saying, stop seeking revenge. I don't seek revenge. I am the call to Mamadaka. You should be defending the Jews rather than attacking them. A similar idea appears in the Medrash Eliyahu Zuta. So those are three explanations of the call to Mamadaka, but Rashi brings yet another approach. Rashi says, I brought it there at the end of source test, called the Mishabchin B'chashai. The call to Mamadaka is the voice of those who praise Hashem in silence, of those who sing to Hashem in silence. And Rashi in Iyo Perek Dalet Pasuk Tezayin says those are the Malachim. And Radvaz comments on it in Chelek Vav, Tshuva number 2294, Beis Alafim, Reish Sadi Dalet. He says that this is the most beloved tefillah before Hashem, like that Zohar that we saw, that Hashem approves of and accepts silent tefillah. That's the call to Mamadaka. Hashem says, you know what voice I listen to? I listen to call to Mishachan B'chashai, the sound of those who sing in silence. What is this sound of singing in silence? I believe that the sound of singing in silence may be explained as a statement on the poverty of words, of language, and expression. Granted that we're told that the Nishmas Chaim Hashem gave Adam was Ruach Memalalah, and Raiha Adam Lenefesh Chaya, we became Ruach Memalalah, a speaking spirit. Not everything inside our neshamos can be expressed in words. We hint at that in Tehillim when we use an alphabetical acrostic. We say we can't express everything, so Hashem, please put it in the proper order. And in fact, it's the Gemara's recommendation. It's the Gemara in Brachos, source Yud. Ha'udinachas kamed Rabbi Chanina. There was that fellow who went to daven for the Amid in front of Rabbi Chanina. He is anonymous, which is good for him, because we quote this story all the time, and he'd be quite embarrassed. You know the story. The fellow goes to daven in front of Rabbi Chanina, and he starts singing the praises of Hashem, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora, and then he goes off on his own. HaAdir HaYizuz HaYaro YaChazak HaAmit Tzavale HaNichbod. And Rabbi Chanina waits patiently until this fellow is done, and he says to him, tell me, have you said all the proper praises of your master? What did you do this for? We only say Akel HaGadol HaGibor, we say HaNora. We only do that because Moshe does it in the Torah, and the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah established it as part of our davening. We don't keep on adding. Why? Because we can never possibly say everything we need to say. It would be like praising a king who has thousands and thousands and thousands of gold coins for the silver coins that he has. It's inappropriate, it's inadequate. Speech is fundamentally inadequate. We find this theme in Tanakh. Right? After Aaron loses his two sons, Vayidom Aharon. Aaron was silent. Ushasik. Right? Aaron was silent. What he was feeling was way beyond what words could say. The Dom Lashem v'hischol el lo. Be silent for Hashem and hope for him. Long for Hashem's help in silence. Interestingly, the word for silence in Hebrew, or one word in Hebrew for silence, is shavach, shin beis chet, besok alav atas shavachim. When the waves come up, Hashem stills them. One of the targum on Vayidom Aharon is ushvach Aharon. Ushvach Aharon means he was silent, but there's an element of praise in silence. So perhaps that's the reason why we prefer to daven silently. Granted, we're given permission on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to daven louder in order to increase our kavana. Nonetheless, we do have many reasons to daven silently all year, and even Rosh Hashanah. Technical reasons about distracting others, reasons of avoiding embarrassment when people overhear what you're admitting, reasons of your relationship with Hashem to demonstrate that we trust in Hashem's power, reasons of showing respect when standing before the Melech, and yes, also to say to Hashem, you know what, we don't have all the tools. We mean so much more that we just can't convey. And that's the tefillah that the Zohar says is accepted by Hashem. There are some practical ideas, practical applications of this idea. Obviously, one of them is to quit talking to others during davening. If we're going to avoid loud tefillah, lest we distract others, we certainly should avoid conversation, lest it distract. If we avoid loud tefillah, because as the Aruch HaShulchan says, we're standing before the Melech, we certainly should avoid conversation. And if we believe that silence conveys more than words, maybe we can convey more to our neighbors by our silence, as well. And beyond this, even if we do take the Shulchan Aruch's license to daven louder on Rosh Hashanah, we should think about what we do in general to convey to Hashem the depth of our feelings beyond the words. It's the way we dress, the way we come into the room, the way we bow, the time we come into the room, the way we take care of our kids, the time we leave the room. We want to convey this message, Chana's message, the message of the Kol Dmama Daka, that Hashem, I can't possibly express all of my hopes and fears and tshuva in words. Don't take my silence for indifference. My silence represents what's truly indifference.